ask you this. Let me ask you this.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Sports Central.
Chicago Sports Conversation with Adam Hogue.
Go, go, go.
This is Sports Central. On demand and streaming live on WGNRadio.com.
Welcome in. This is Sports Central. Adam Hogue and Mark Carman joining me today.
I just found out, it's always amazing to me, Bill Leff is officially, now I know that he's deaf, putting on his headphones. Nobody can hear in radio. Do you know
that? Yeah, no, Wendy's the same way. Every day this thing is jacked up to...
It's terrifying. We're going to not be able to hear when we get into...
It does scare me.
But nobody can hear.
If I do this another 15 years...
I don't get it. How...
This little knob tells you how old you are.
Right. It's unbelievable. Everyone is... Can't... Well, at least we could speak, but can't hear if you stay in the business long enough. I guess it's a good sign. Maybe, hopefully, I'll get my headphones to Bill Leff level someday. That'll mean that I've actually achieved some serious success. Yeah. By the way, congratulations on being named... part of the White Sox post-game operation with me.
You too.
Thanks, Adam. Yeah. That's why I wanted to come in and see you today, by the way. I just wanted to see
you. Yeah, I know. You're like, I have the day off. Can I come in?
Yeah, right. At 10:30, I'm like, I'm not doing anything. Oh, yeah, I could call Adam Hogue, and maybe you would allow me to come in and sit in on Sports Central, so thank you.
Well, this is Sports Central. It is Monday, February 19th. Happy Monday. We'll talk about the weekend a little bit. An NBA All-Star weekend. Our phone number is 312-235-2525. You can find the show on iTunes and Google Play if you don't listen to it live. You can find it there as a podcast. Just search WGN Sports Central. Again, Adam Hogue, Mark Carman. Get used to those names, because as we jump right into our lead,
I will burn every Cub thing I have if we get the White Sox.
Oh, interesting.
Whoa.
I said that. Can't run from it now.
That was Mark Carman, what, like 13 days ago?
Yeah, I've had a reassessment of, we don't need to necessarily be on one side or the other. Harry Tynowitz pointed out to me very much that he's bisexual. And so, but as a part of the White Sox broadcast team, I do want to connect deeply with White Sox fans. So maybe that might be necessary for some. I don't know. There might be like one garment to sacrifice. Like,
sacrifice one garment?
Like, I got a Derek Lee that I'm willing to say goodbye to. Never wanted him on the team.
No, that's not good enough. Right, Joe?
No?
DP Lee? Does it say DP on there? DP Lee?
It does not say DP, no.
Yeah.
How about a Cubs floppy hat? Like, that's
I think it should be your 2016 World Series.
I never got anything for that.
You never got a single thing?
You were on, but
dude, how about the year the White Sox, Joe, you probably had the same thing. The year the White Sox won the World Series. That Christmas, that's all I got. It was White Sox World Series t-shirt, hat, jacket. It was like, it's by like the, you know, the fifth present, you're kind of going, all right, guys, I do wear other clothes. I appreciate it, but...
Right, well, just to name it, you know, it was great to be on with you that night that the Chicago Cubs won the World Series in Game 7 on November 3rd. You and, I believe, Andy Mazur were in studio that night.
That that has a lot to do with why we're going to be the pre-post team.
And we went full-on overnight show celebration, Cubs won the World Series, and... I mean, who hasn't done both teams in this town? Jack Brickhouse, Harry Carey,
mm-hmm. Steve Stone,
Darren Jackson played for the Cubs, played for the Sox, now broadcasting the White Sox. I mean, it's
a normal thing.
It's a normal thing. So I'm
by the way, our entire radio station is also doing it.
Right.
Like the whole operation.
Right. And so, I mean, we're all thrilled to be a part of it. I'm super thrilled. I could, like, my phone started going nuts this morning at 8 o'clock. I really just want to be Robert Feeder.
Right. I've learned that's how I find out
everything.
Yeah.
The guy is just unbelievable. So I knew, oh, this must be official now, because I'm getting texts from people that I haven't heard from in, you know, 15, 20 years. Congratulations. I had no idea who was writing me. Johnny wrote me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I'm like, that is so nice. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. I didn't know that Steve was a diehard White Sox fan, as you know, his entire career, you know, since he came out of the womb. So she's super psyched that the Sox are on GN and all that type of stuff. At any rate, it was just cool. So,
well, for those that haven't heard the news, Mark Carman and I will be splitting the post game duties on White Sox baseball this summer. That's pretty much what we know about that so far. We'll tell you more as we get closer to the season. Andy Mazur will be doing the pregame.
I hear that we stand behind Mazur during the pregame and just tell him how good he is. That's what we do.
Should we confirm with him? Because he's on the phone right now. Hey, Andy.
Hi, guys. Yeah, that'd be okay. You know, you can stand behind me, and you know, if it gets a little warm in the booth, you can fan me a little bit, too. That's not a bad idea.
Right shoulder, left shoulder, fan Mazur.
Either way, yeah. I'm ambidextrous. No worries.
Well, Andy, we're congratulating ourselves, so congratulations to you now.
Yeah. Hey, you know, it's great. I mean, you know, we made a good team on the Northside post-game shows, and you know, now we'll be tag-teaming on the Southside shows, which is nice.
Well, maybe we should, because, you know, we have a lot of new listeners here and a lot of Sox fans that are also wondering, like, what's going on with my radio broadcast, mm-hmm. which is completely fair. So, Andy, yeah. For those that don't know, tell us a little bit about your baseball broadcasting career, because unlike Carm and I, you actually know what you're doing.
Easy.
Yeah, it's actually, you know, this is the next year will be my, well, it would be 20 years, basically, because started with WGN in 1999. I was doing the Cubs pre and Cubs post, and then it kind of evolved into a traveling position and doing a little play-by-play when Pat Hughes needed a little time off. And then I parlayed that into a nice little job with the San Diego Padres. Did a little play-by-play there for about 7 years. And been back in Chicago almost exactly 4 years now. So I've been itching to get back into baseball just because it's kind of the niche, you know. It's one of the sport that I grew up playing, the sport that I grew up pretty much knowing the best. And now I have a pretty good working knowledge of radio broadcasts and pregame shows and, you know, what fans are going to be looking for and listening for, and especially with the young White Sox team. I mean, more information you can get about these new guys and what makes them tick, and some of the guys that are coming up the line here as well. I mean, there's the top six of the top 100 prospects in baseball. I mean, number one farm system according to MLB.com. So it's a good time for us to be joining forces with the White Sox.
No doubt about it. And I'm just trying to think here. So you did the Cubs, you did the Padres, and you mm-hmm. did the White Sox. I like to name that I did at least like three or four Cubs post-game shows back in the day when we had the team, when WGN mm-hmm. had the team. And I've done some Royals, and now moving to the White Sox. So Andy and I are just equal, minus those...
Equal.
Minus those mm-hmm. seven years of play-by-play, perhaps, experience, yeah. which might put you... a little bit more down the line. What do you think's realistic for this White Sox team this year, Andy, as you're sizing it up? I'm doing the same, and we had Darren Jackson was on Saturday, and I mean, a lot of mm-hmm. Everybody seems to be downplaying what they're going to do this year, and I don't feel the need to do that, you know, as we have the first spring training game coming up here on Friday. You never mm-hmm. know what happens in baseball. The White Sox are going to have a lot of flexibility salary-wise, and of course they are playing for the future. But, mm-hmm. you know, I think, you know, why can't this team surprise? There was a lot of good stories last year late in the season that maybe they can take off early here in April.
Yeah, you know, here's the only cautionary tale I'll tell, because, you know, having been around the game for a while, it's easy, and I don't mean easy by meaning there's no effort to be put into it at all, but you know, you look at a small sample size for, say, July, August, September, and for a team that's not really contending, I mean, it's a different vibe around that type of a situation than it is if you're expected to contribute right off the bat and right in April. So it'll be interesting to see, like, what Moncada does early on. You know, Tim Anderson's still a young guy in this game, too. So, you know, trying to live up to a contract. So there's different pressures on each of these guys. Will Garcia, obviously, be able to pick up where he left off? I mean, a .330 batting average last year is nothing to sneeze at, second in the American League. But what you want to see is how they start, because again, there's different kinds of pressures. I mean, there's pressure when you come up, obviously, for the first time, but it kind of eases itself a little bit when you see that everybody is kind of in the same boat as you are. You know, now there's some expectations because of what you were able to do toward the end of last season. Can you live up to that? And my answer generally is it's going to be a little bit of a mixed bag. I mean, you obviously hope that these guys are capable of doing what they did toward the end of last year, but now there's a book on them. I mean, other teams have seen these guys play too. So as the old cliche goes, baseball is a game of adjustments, and now it's going to be time for these young White Sox players to adjust to what they're going to see, especially early on from the other pitchers in the league.
Well, and that's why I understand why people want to talk about this team potentially surprising and and maybe outperforming expectations. And people want to look ahead to Eloy coming up and Michael Kopech coming up. But for me, man, April and May, it's all about Yoan Moncada and how he gets rolling and if he fixes some of the things that he had issues with last year before he turned it around in September. And it's about getting Tim Anderson back on track with all the issues he had off the field last year in his personal life, which were completely understandable, getting him back and playing at a much higher level, getting Lucas Giolito going and Reynaldo Lopez. Like, you can't forget about the pieces that are already on the Major League club and forget wins and losses. The most important thing for this franchise to me early on in April and May is to get those guys going.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, usually rookies and second-year guys and third-year guys, sometimes you struggle coming out of the gate because, you know, the weather's not favorable. Again, you're facing top pitching, you know, it seems like almost every day because of all the off days that are built into the early part of the schedule in Major League Baseball because of weather concerns in the Midwest and the East and things of that nature. But, you know, I think you're absolutely right on that because, again, there's these different kinds of pressures with expectations that the fans look at and they see what's going on. And, yeah, you can't help but get excited about what the future would hold for a guy like Yoan Moncada. But, again, you know, he scuffled a little bit and then turned things around. Yomar Sanchez did the same thing. You got guys all over the field that are young and rather inexperienced. You know, Jose Abreu and Garcia are probably the two most experienced guys. When you add Wellington Castillo to the mix as well, which is maybe not an underrated move, especially with some of the younger pitchers that are going to be throwing to him. And, the start is key. I mean, the start and it's just to start feeling good about yourself, about your team, about your teammates, and the direction of a team early on is always key. You know, the old saying again, you know, you probably can't win a championship in April, but you can certainly lose one if you don't want it, if your goal is to be in contention. And, you know, like you said, I mean, stranger things have happened. I don't know if I would put my money on it this year, but what you want to look for is improvements all across the field, and especially in the starting rotation as well with being able to depend on some young guys.
Most importantly, Jose Abreu's got a beard, which is not necessarily White Sox policy. I know that both of you guys are very tight with Jerry Reinsdorf. I'm planning on building that relationship myself, but I'm hoping he can keep the beard. He wants a green light on the bases. That's huge. So Abreu's going to be stealing bags wearing the beard. This is a winning ugly type of formula that I'm seeing out of Abreu, and I think that can just let it foment throughout the whole team.
I'm just happy because I can't grow facial hair anyway. So,
I'm rocking the beard now. You know, I've gotten rave reviews, even with a little gray hair showing everywhere, every little place. But yeah, you know, the radio thing yesterday that was the thing that struck me the most was the fact that he wants to be a base stealer. I'm thinking, why don't you hit the ball out of the ballpark? That way, you don't have to worry about really running fast.
Listen, everybody wants to do everything in life. Steal a base. It's all about timing. You pick your spots, right?
I want to hit 30 home runs and not get 100 RBIs, too. Now, does Dave Ennett have to shave his beard is the question now that the White Sox are on WGA.
Good call. Good call. I mean, I tell you what, if Mr. Cat is forced to shave it, I'm going to have no choice.
Mr. Cat's got a big game tonight with Maryland at Allstate Arena. It's been a very rough week for Mr. Cat and the Northwestern Wildcats. The loss at Rutgers was nauseating.
That was tough.
Michigan State was even worse, up 49-27 at half. But I want to leave Mr. Cat alone is the whole point.
That was the biggest comeback in Big Ten history.
Yeah, and it's bad.
It was so vile. Sorry, Andy. I just got to just vent for 1 second. Yeah. It was so disgusting. Okay. And you knew it was coming. You knew. But, I mean, they're sitting there with 8 points scored in the second half with about 2 minutes to go. They can't get anything to go down. In and out, around and out. Off the rim, no good. Three ball on the way. Bang down the well. It goes Michigan State. They didn't miss. That was rough. But, any rate, great to be partnered with you, Andy Mazur.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it, guys. I mean, it's going to be fun to be out at the ballpark with you guys and talk something other than, Adam from football. You got the Bears coming up too with the drafts and all that kind of stuff going down with Ryan Pace and the new coaching staff there. And it'll be fun to talk some ball with you guys and share that booth and get to know Ed and DJ a little bit and see what we got going on the field there for the White Sox. I mean, I can tell you one thing. I mean, I've been very close with Rick Renteria over the years. He was with me in San Diego, and I talked to him briefly the other day, and he's psyched. He is really excited about the prospects of this year, which it kind of gets you going, too. The manager is looking forward to good and steady improvements from some of these guys. I mean, I think I'm on board with that.
All right, Andy Mazur, the new pregame host for the White Sox. Thanks for joining us, buddy, and enjoy Florida because that's where you are right now.
Yeah, I had to visit the parents a little bit here. You know, I got to get my parental time in.
Nice.
Say hi to mom and dad. They're big fans of me. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah, I think they're following you on Twitter at the Carm.
They are the Mazurs. There's a picture of them. It's awesome. You get two for one. Thanks, Andy.
You got it.
All right, Andy Mazur. WGN Radio pregame for the White Sox. Want to get everyone just acquainted with the team today.
Can you really not grow any facial hair? Is that
no? I can. In fact, my wife says she likes it, but I can't grow like an actual beard. It would just be like
so you had like a
porcupine.
So you had like a little bit of a like an acid bleaching of one area, so that part won't grow, and then the rest in other parts.
No, it just doesn't. It's not a full Dave Ennett experience.
Yeah.
It's patchy, and
I think you'd look good.
Okay.
I mean, I just want you on board with
we do have a very handsome post-game show.
Right. I mean, you got Jose Abreu growing it out. I mean, maybe we need to join in. I just want to partner in every way possible here.
All right. We'll take a quick timeout. Some basketball to get to. Some interesting conversations. A fun All-Star weekend. I'm sure you took in every moment of it.
I loved it. I really did.
I know you did. We'll take a quick time out. Be right back here on Sports Central.
WGN. WGN. This is where WGN Sports Central lives.
It's alive!
Streaming right now with your host, Adam Hogue.
This is Sports Central. Happy Monday. Hope you enjoyed the weekend. Talk a little bit about the highs and lows of the weekend. I went to the SNL Museum with my family. I saw you on Saturday, Carm.
You did. You were roaming the streets in the middle of a snowstorm. I was impressed.
That thing came out of nowhere.
But it did, and most people, if they could have been inside, were.
Yeah.
You just hung out up there. It was beautiful.
I was walking to my car, and I decided to say hello to you and Harry.
It was very nice.
As you guys were hosting the first ever White Sox Weekly.
We were.
On WGN.
Had Darren Jackson, had Don Cooper.
He didn't want to... God bless Harry. Asking Don Cooper to name a closer in the mid-February.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Coop handled it well.
I had my own, I guess, minor faux pas. Like, but he didn't get the spirit of, like, I'm asking if Lucas Giolito could be a front of the rotation starter, which I think the White Sox need him to be if this rebuilding plan is going to do exactly what they want it to do. And he was great at the end of last season, at least.
Here's what I think ideally.
Yeah.
It works out.
Okay.
Perfect world.
Carlos Rodon comes back and he's healthy.
Kopech 1.
Uh-huh.
Rodon 2.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Giolito / Lopez 3-4.
You're super optimistic on Rodon.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying I think that's what they, perfect. I said perfect world.
Okay.
I've been very honest about the Rodon thing for over a year now.
What's your take? Like, I think like that guy's headed to be a 7th, 8th inning guy. I know they don't want to.
No, I think if he's healthy, he can still be really good. You see the stuff when he's healthy.
For sure.
It's just, I don't like the shoulder and the mysterious way he didn't start last season, too, and now it's happening again this year. Well, it's a little bit more defined this year, but I think healthy Rodon can be very good.
Absolutely. But if I'm the White Sox and I'm looking at Rodon and what's happened, And I'm thinking about durability and how to get the most out of him. At some point,
yeah.
If guys develop, he very well may end up in the bullpen.
You know who was picked one spot after Rodon?
Kyle Schwarber.
Yep.
Okay, well, Kyle Schwarber's got some work to do this year. We'll see. I mean, he is Kyle Schwarber.
Yeah, last year, that reality, really, I did not like that. Like, it bothered me. Now, even though Rodon still had his health problems...
Yeah,
2017 Kyle Schwarber made me feel a lot better about the passing of Kyle Schwarber.
Well, okay, he still
hit 30 bombs,
right?
I know.
And he came out at the end of the year. And
I still think he's American League DH, though. You know, I've been saying that for years.
That's his ideal position. There's no question. Maybe
National League's getting the DH, too. It doesn't matter.
That could be, too. That could be, too. You know what? You know what? I was thinking about speeding up the game of baseball.
Mm-hmm.
You know how they, when you play 12-inch softball, I know you love it, and they start with a 1-1 count? Why can't we just go 1-1 count?
No. No.
No? Why not?
No.
No.
No way, dude.
That's dumb.
That's out.
Okay. I got more. I don't think it's dumb at all. At bats take forever. Get the ball and play. Wide in the strike zone, 1-1 count.
Well, you know what I've told you? Every pitcher only gets one visit from a coach.
Okay, great. All right.
And but that, one player, the biggest thing is one player per inning.
You're cutting off by something like that, like 10 minutes. I'm lopping off 45 minutes.
That's extreme.
Yeah, but it's great. You know what? Have you ever done play-by-play on the college level? St. Edward's University, Austin, Texas, I'm referring to?
No. I did some softball at Wisconsin.
Right. Women's softball is phenomenal to call because the game goes by super fast. Men's baseball, pack a lunch. And
look, if you watch the playoffs, there's like every other pitch, one of the players is going to the mound. Enough of that. That would be one of the biggest things. It's just... It adds to the strategy, too, because you got to find different ways to communicate. And I think DJ brought that up with you on Saturday.
They did, and that's been discussed, that there's cameras everywhere in the park, and people are wearing Apple Watches, and who knows what type of signals are going on from every which way, so you got to be creative in how you communicate. But the players, and look, Rob Manfred, this has been out there for over a year now, so he has the right to put it in, and I think he should. But it'll be interesting. There's certain guys out there that are going to be bothered by this. John Lester had a freak out at Cubs camp last week about it. And he's
about what?
About pace of play. He hates it, despises change in the game. And that's a guy that's very particular, can't throw to first base. Some guys are going
to
be
all due respect to John Lester, this is about the new game. I mean, like... Players will adapt. You implement this stuff in the minors, and that's why I'm okay with the pitch clock in the minors. I don't run it in the majors, but I like it in the minors because it's going to develop these guys to pitch quicker. It's just going to kind of get them ingrained to do it.
I'm completely on board with the pitch clock. I love speeding up the game. I don't think you should be able to leave the batter's box once an at-bat starts. You could put one foot out, you know, reset. But
that's already a rule, and they don't.
Right, that's the other thing. They need to enforce the actual
rules. They don't enforce it. They do it for like the first 2 weeks of April, and then they stop enforcing it.
They don't even do it for that. They might do it in like spring training for a second. It's never enforced.
Yeah, no, you're right.
So there's plenty they could do, and part of me also think it's a big discussion about nothing. Like, people have more stuff to do. You quicken up baseball by 15 minutes, I don't know if you're going to get some ratings bonanza from it. I don't think people are going to start watching the A's and the Mariners at 9:45 on ESPN2 in the dead of summer.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. You know, you said lop off 45 minutes for who? Are you going to hook like a huge amount of fans because, oh my God, baseball is so much quicker
see,
now.
See, I think if you do make it that much quicker, it becomes a lot more palatable for more people. Like, you're not there for 4 hours, you're there for 2 hours. And one of the great things, like, go to a college basketball game.
Yeah, it's nice that it's over in two.
It's 2 hours, it's mm-hmm. done, it's awesome. You know, it's just less of a commitment. And you can, and you're actually, like, baseball now, I don't know, when do you tune in? Seventh inning? Eighth?
First.
Well, yes, you're now an employee of the Chicago White Sox, so to speak, but are you telling me, how many games did you watch from start to finish last year?
Oh, I don't know.
It can't be many. Don't lie to me.
At least 15.
15, right.
Yeah.
No, okay, if there was a two-hour game, 1-1 count, that thing was moving.
And by the way, that's only games on TV. Any game I went to, I was there the entire time.
Sure. But you know what I do when I go to a game? I sit in this seat, then I go and sit in that seat.
Yeah, you're weird. See, I like to sit in my seat.
Okay. I'm going to sit in the seat in the booth that we have with you, and then I'm going to, like, see you later. I'm going to walk up to the 500 level. I'm going to sit up there for a while.
Why?
Because the game's slow, man. It just, I like...
You're just bored?
I get bored. I want to go around to different venues, get a little... Just move around. I don't want to sit that long. Like, it's not good to sit that long. So I'll take a walk. I'm still paying attention to the game. I'll go see the bleachers. Maybe you mingle with a fan. There's one story for the post-game show. Talk to Roscoe out in right field tonight. He was having a dog. And, you know, I'm still consuming the game. That's me.
The way I consume the game, like, I have to see every I got to pay attention to, like, pitch-by-pitch strategy, what the pitch is, everything that's going on.
That is,
and I don't like to be distracted.
That is value, too. That's why there are TVs and replays and stuff like that if I, in the scenario that I just painted, if I miss something. But you got there. Working the game is different. This is another animal that, you know, we're doing the post-game show, so maybe I'll move less. But, you know, as far as a normal baseball game, I sit like 15 seats.
Because
there's always a gazillion seats available. Nobody, not everybody goes to a baseball game, and if they are there, they go and they walk. You know, maybe they're at Sox Fundamentals having a good time, throwing the all, running the bases or doing something. You ever done that? We run against the thing.
Back when I was a kid.
Yeah, but I take my niece. And
you still do it?
I want to go. I want to run it.
I could probably get James to run it this year.
Right.
All right, we're talking highs and lows of the weekend here on Sports Central. That's Mark Carman. I'm Adam Hoge. Yeah, I'm sure you spent most of the weekend watching NBA All-Star stuff.
So I DVR'd most of it, and I just think that the NBA right now is hitting on all cylinders.
It's a pretty good product.
You had an All-Star game that no one liked that was in the 190s, and everybody got together, sat in a room, Adam Silver, LeBron James, the big shooters, and they said, hey, let's do this. Let's have the players pick. What most popular guys will be the captains. Okay, this year was LeBron and Steph. We're not going to have conference allegiances, whoever you want. And we're actually going to make, and the best thing I think they did, $100,000 to the winner, $25,000 if you're on the loser. There's real incentive out there. I don't care how much money you make. That's $75,000.
That helps. I mean, they seem more competitive.
And from the get-go, the first play of the game last night, LeBron stripping someone in the lane and trying to deny a bucket. I thought that all of the on-court was phenomenal. And then off the court, LeBron James, I'm not going to shut up and dribble, is fantastic for the league. You know, that clown on Fox who's saying that type of stuff. I think it's the league is being elevated by that. You look at what's going on in the NFL. You got Steve Kerr speaking out all the time. You got Pop speaking out. You got the players speaking out. Everybody with any common sense knows they're on the right side of the coin. I really think the league's doing a lot of good stuff.
It's interesting to me how that dynamic that you got Pop and you got Steve Kerr almost nightly talking about politics. And I don't hear anybody yelling at them.
Nobody's yelling at him. It's amazing because NBA fans are a little bit more progressive. Let's just call it as it is. They just are.
Yeah, but
somebody says something in the NFL, and it is a fight.
But it kind of there seems to be a little bit of a race thing there too.
Yeah,
the black NFL player kneels. Oh my God, everybody's upset. But the white head coach, you know, says many of the same things that they're trying to go after. And no one says a thing. It's very interesting that, I mean.
Yeah, and
that's the thing with it gets back to the kneeling. Let's call it what it is, right? Why everybody gets so upset.
I think it's a big part of it.
You know, don't have to get all in all that, too. But to your point with the NBA, I love, everything. You know, Steve Kerr, Pop talking about that stuff, LeBron openly talking about this stuff over the weekend. They don't shy away from it.
LeBron, I was watching his press conference last night, and then I watched him on TNT and with Charles, who goes at him. I thought it was, you know, that's a pretty mature thing for LeBron to do. Hey, you take shots at me all the time. I'm sitting on the set with Shaq and you and Kenny, and they asked him about the Fox commentator, and he talked about that. But he also talked about, he's like, look, I'm sitting there coming off the court, and in the front row, I see Bill Russell, I see Dr. J, I see Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And these are guys that all spoke out at different points in their career, and I owe it to them, and I said thank you to them. He's like, the big O wasn't there. Oscar Robertson was the most out there championing for the players back in the day, getting them, you know, because the teams owned the players in the 60s. You drafted, you were on one team for your entire career. Hey, this year we're paying you $15,000. Yeah, we paid you $20,000 last year, but we're paying you $15,000. That's all we got. And if you don't want to play, you can sit out. I mean, that was the options. Those dudes fought for the free agency. And same thing happened in baseball and whatnot, but those were the guys at the NBA. So he knows the history, and he knows his responsibility, and he's the best player in the game. That's a huge guy. And he partners with Adam Silver. That's a lot of good stuff for the NBA right there.
In terms of the lows of the weekend, it doesn't get any lower than what happened at the Blackhawks game Saturday night.
Right.
And these four fans who are ejected for racist taunts, and it reflects poorly on all of us. Like the entire city. It reflects poorly on the entire city.
I agree.
And it's I applaud the Blackhawks for taking action right away and ejecting them and putting out a statement. And do we know yet if they're going to be allowed back in the building?
I don't believe they're going to be allowed back in the building. But what's interesting to me is, are we outing these people? Because they absolutely should be outed.
They're like their names.
Yeah.
And Steve Rosenblum wrote something about this in the Tribune.
Yeah, and David Haugh had basically the same thing. We need to know who you were. Your employer should know who you were. And by the way, you can give a heartfelt apology, and you were drunk, and you were acting like an idiot, and you know better, and then you're going to go into sensitivity training and X, Y, and Z that you're going to do to give back. But you walk there. Listen, we do live in a very public world right now. Everybody's got their phones. You go to the Blackhawks game and to one of the 30 African-American players in the NHL, and you yell basketball, basketball, basketball at him. It's not as bad as using the N-word, but it's pretty damn close. You should be outed. Somebody knows who those clowns were, and
it's interesting that it hasn't come out.
Right.
Like even on some social media post, hey, I know who these people were.
Right.
They're so and so.
Let's get some pictures flowing here. The Blackhawks are in a rough spot there. I don't think it's their job to out these people. I think that would feel off to me. But you know,
for it to come out organically.
Little organic. These are the pictures sent to someone who sends it to someone, and then they're out there, and then all of a sudden on Facebook, somebody who didn't like that guy in high school says, that is Adam Hogue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is Mark Harmon, whatever. Whoever it is, let's get it out there. Because it is. You're right, Adam. It
wasn't us, by the way.
Right. Yes, it
was. Just to clarify.
Right. If anybody needed that clarification, it was not us.
It was.
And it would never be us. And it's complete, and it's gross. And it's I think to your point at the start, it's disgusting. It's bad for Chicago. It's bad for Blackhawks fans. That does not represent Blackhawks fans. That represents a small percentage, and they shouldn't have to be lumped in with those clowns.
Well, just a couple of comparisons. Boston has a bad reputation.
Yeah.
For racism. Okay. Well, especially in sports with their fan base, and they're not all racist. But it's become a lump sum deal. And we've talked about this the last couple of weeks. Their radio station, WEEI, they shut down the whole station Friday to do sensitivity training for their entire on-air lineup.
Yeah.
And, again, that doesn't mean that the entire city of Boston is racist. But when these things happen, it reflects poorly on everybody. And in Philadelphia, it wasn't necessarily racism, but in the NFC Championship, there were so many videos that popped up on social media of them treating the Vikings fans very, very, very poorly. The amazing thing is, I went to Minnesota, spent the whole week with Eagles fans, and I didn't meet a single one that was mean or aggressive or acting rudely. They were all really, really nice. And I'm sure the ones that were able to travel to Minnesota are maybe a different subset of the fan base. But still, like, you go into this game thinking, oh man, these Eagles fans are going to be annoying all week, and they weren't like that. But it reflects poorly on everybody when this stuff happens.
Well, and that gets me to, you just got to be thinking, everybody in life, for the most part, no matter what color you are, no matter whatever you do spiritually, we all want the same thing for the most part. 99% of us. Roof over our heads, food on the table, family, comfortable lifestyle. Everybody wants the same thing. So, you know, to not be able to comprehend that and to go out and whatever insecurities are flowing through yourself to try to put yourself above someone, it's just so wrong.
Well, and from a business standpoint, if you're the Blackhawks, and again, I applaud them for how swiftly they handled this, you do not want opposing players. And it was Capitals winger Devontae Smith-Pelly who was the one that was in the box and unfortunately received these chants from these idiot fans. But you don't want opposing players coming to your building and being subjected to that or expecting that they're going to hear things like that. And, you know, the funny thing is if he didn't, it's not funny, but that's the wrong word, but if he didn't react,
yeah, nobody would say anything.
We never would have heard about this.
Right.
And that makes me wonder, how often has this happened in the past?
Right.
Where a player just let it go. And in my mind, good for this guy for stepping up and yelling back and exposing them. And you're right. They should be exposed even further. The name should be out there. People should know who this is. Their employer should know who these people are.
And when it's hockey, let's call it what it is. Incredibly white sport, incredibly white fan base.
Yeah.
Like you go to a hockey game, if you see 10 people of color in the stands, it's a lot. And to me, it always feels like, whoa. Walk in there like, we little white in here. I mean, like, can we get a little bit of diversity? And if I'm a black person, I can't put myself in their shoes, but like to go to the game and you're like the one person there, you know, it's I would think it's confronting.
And it probably wouldn't feel good to have other fans you're sitting by,
right,
yelling racist stuff at the players.
Right. So it's to me, it's an issue for the league how white
it is. An issue. And for the Blackhawks. You know what's funny? I had one idiot respond to me on Twitter, and I believe all I did was retweet the Blackhawks statement on this Sunday morning. When he responded, it was more towards the Blackhawks than me, but I was on it. It was, you should be more worried about fixing your hockey team and trading these players than worrying about being politically correct.
Go
okay,
away.
Okay.
Go away.
One, it's not about being politically correct. It's about just being correct. All right, well, let's start there. But two, if you want to take it to wins and losses, once again, this reflects poorly on your organization when this stuff happens. You want to sign free agents?
Right.
You want players who want to come to Chicago, and that's been one of the areas you've been really successful in for the last decade, is making the Blackhawks the organization that players want to play for in the National Hockey League. You don't want this stuff happening. So, I think those that kind of response, and I always hate isolating Twitter responses, even though I do it frequently, because it doesn't represent the majority of the people out there, which is, I think, what we're getting at here. But for those people that do react that way, go, oh, it's not that big of a deal to be chanting the word basketball at a player, it is a big deal. It's wrong.
Yep.
But it also, it reflects poorly on the organization and the entire city. So, good for the Blackhawks for the way they handled it.
Yeah, and look, you've got tremendous leadership over there, and I'm sure they've well thought out, you know, what they should do, what they're going to do, and maybe they're not going to do anything further from here. I can't put myself in their shoes on that. But they also, you know, the Blackhawks just went out, right, as they're trying to rework their roster.
We save it for buried headlines.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
There was a Blackhawks trade today. We'll bring it up here. In our next segment, as we run down some of our buried headlines on Sports Central, we'll be right back. Adam Hogan, Mark Carmen here with you on Sports Central on this Monday. By the way, your new post-game team on White Sox baseball.
That's unbelievable.
Is that?
And I don't want to talk too much about us, but that's unbelievable.
I'm excited.
And I know you guys. Wow, this is a great day for all of us.
Joe, if I could just sit on your lap all summer long, I would appreciate that. You're one of the great supporters, MVP candidates in the entire city. Thank you.
Dreams.
So, there's an interesting interview that appeared on the All-Star Game coverage over the weekend. And involved Kobe Bryant and Shaquille O'Neal talking to each other. They did like this players-only interview back and forth.
It's awesome.
Good TV, by the way.
Loved it.
And in the midst of them discussing all their issues and their history together with the Lakers and getting out of there, a very interesting snippet came up from Kobe Bryant.
We were looking for homes.
Right.
We were actually looking for homes in Chicago. Researching schools, places to live.
So that was true, you were going to go to the Bulls?
Yeah. There was a story in ESPN, I think it was ESPN Magazine, and they asked you a question about me and Penny. And you said that we're essentially the same. And I looked at that and I said,
No, we're not.
But I think you took that the wrong way because of all the misquotes and all the bad stuff.
I probably use his motivation too.
Yeah.
To say, listen, if this is the conversation, I don't want this conversation. When I retire, I don't want people to say, okay, he only won because of Shaq. As unfair as that is, Magic never won without Cat. Right? Michael never won without Scotty. So, but here I am getting stuck with this argument, which is not fair, but yet this is the argument people will make, and I'm not okay with that. And so therefore I knew, okay, I gotta go.
I had actually heard that, but I didn't believe it.
Oh yeah.
So
we're looking for places in Chicago, man. We're flying up there to meet with Reinsdorf and
you
Paxson.
You want to leave sunny California to go to cold ass Chicago?
Vanessa signed off on moving out to I think it was Lake Forest. I think it was Chicago. And went on a vacation to Italy. I got a phone call. Rob Pelinka called me, and he said Shaq just requested a trade. I was like, well, there goes Chicago. There's no way the Lakers are gonna lose me and Shaq in the same year.
So that was 2004. Kobe was that close to being a Bull. How does that make you feel, Mark?
It would have been incredible.
Oh my God.
It would have been incredible.
So was he a free agent that year?
He was, and you know, it just, I just love hearing that, just the competitive nature of these guys.
Yeah.
You're going to lump me in.
With Penny.
You're calling me Penny Hardaway. Get the F out of here. That is complete BS, right? And, all right, I don't want to be associated that I just won because of Shaq. I'll go do my own thing. By the way, he went on to win two more.
Two more, yeah. Shaq only won one more.
Right. And if I could have Kobe and or Shaq, I'll take Kobe. Which is
they
really
were fun
hard
together, though.
They were incredible together. That's really hard to say. But Kobe, just that mindset.
So just a reset for what they were saying there. Kobe was a free agent, I believe. Shaq then demanded a trade. We had heard for years, right, the friction between them. And one of them was going to have to go.
Do I have that wrong that he wasn't a free agent? They could have traded. Either way.
Maybe it was a trade. But it was serious enough that he was here in Chicago looking for homes in Lake Forest.
Yeah, I wouldn't have gone like Forest if I were him, but that's a
fine. Well, the Bulls were up in Deerfield back
yeah,
then.
Yeah, right, go to Deerfield.
Today, that wouldn't make any sense.
Right, little Birdo Center back in the day out there. Yeah. I get it. But Kobe coming here because he wanted to take on that whole Mike legacy thing. Bulls fans, it would have been real interesting. We would have fallen all over him.
Would they have won a title?
Depending on what they gave up with that. I mean, listen, they were right there. Well, you get Kobe in 04. When do they draft Derek?
Not if. How
2008.
Many?
Yeah. How many?
Three titles, Kobe.
Three titles.
Bulls. Would have tied Mike 6. Oh. Kobe. Regardless if they would have won or not, it would have been so much fun watching it.
And then a few years later, they could have traded. Remember those rumors? I think it was more than rumors. They could have traded Luol Deng and Ben Gordon for him.
Yeah, I never
or at least Luol. I don't know what the rumors were exactly.
I never bought that, but like that the Bulls didn't do that. You telling me I could have Kobe Bryant? I'm not willing to give up Luol Deng. I refuse to believe that was on the table. No one's that.
You
stupid.
Want to believe that?
I would. I'm like, what's the trade for Kobe? Is it the whole team? Great. Who do you want? Luol, Ben Gordon, Andres Nocioni. Yeah, whoever you want. They all suck. Or all
Kirk Heinrich.
Kirk, you want Kirk? Great. Gone. I mean, it was a nice team, and they played hard, and they were cute, but I would have traded every single one of them for Kobe Bryant. That's what you do. And it wasn't like when
Luol ended up a Laker anyway.
Right.
And Kobe never played for
the
Bulls.
They made one of those bad trades, but they traded everybody for Jalen Rose. That didn't work out particularly well.
Jesus.
You do it for Kobe. You do it for a handful of guys. It would have been great. Didn't happen.
Blackhawks made a move today, dealing defenseman Michael Kempney to the Washington Capitals for a third-round conditional draft pick. Caps have two picks. I guess it'll be the higher one of the two in the third round. Kempney hasn't played a whole lot this year. 7 points in 31 games. And you know what? Because Joe Romano's such a great producer, we send Michael Kempney out of Chicago with his only goal.
Wow.
And Scheifele face off. Scheifele wins it to the line. Truba's got it to Morrissey along the left boards. He tried to send it in front. That's picked off by Siever. Quick pass Kempney over the Jets line down the left wing. Rips it on goal. He scores! Michael Kempney with a blast over the left shoulder of Hellebuck. That one hit Nick the underneath side of the crossbar, ends up in the back of the Jets' net. You could call it the exclamation point. It's 5-1 in favor of the Hawks on Kempney's first goal of the season.
Really just an excuse to hear the best play-by-play guy in hockey.
He is incredible.
John Weideman right here on WGN Radio. Then, just to clarify, that was Kempney's only goal this season. And he did have an assist in Saturday's 7-1 victory over the Capitals, his new team.
Hey, 7-1 win, baby. Just,
oh, I think David Hall put it best on Twitter. Like, it just, you want to feel good about the win, but it also just like a tease to how good they could be.
It's confusing.
It's really confusing.
They've had some.
That's why I talked to Cochran on the show last week about, like, he used the word confusing and bizarre, and that's what it is.
Well, they're not as fast as they once were. They've never been physical, and they're trying to rebuild on the fly, but no one saw this coming.
So. I was there on Saturday. I'm their good luck charm. So we got to talk to McDonough. I got to be at every game from here on out. 7-1, easy peasy, baby.
How'd you get tickets?
I know a guy.
You know a guy that works at this station, or you know a guy somewhere?
No, I got my uncle has season tickets.
Okay.
Carve gets so defensive about tickets.
Well,
I've never met anybody that's like so.
Far be it for me to ever complain about anything. I won't, and I shouldn't.
You
but I just want one Blackhawk ticket all season long. I haven't gotten one.
I haven't got one either.
I'm just one. I'm looking for one.
I'm going on 2 years now.
I mean, give me one ticket. One time, it's a text. Hey, there's an extra. I know they're laying around somewhere. I'm just looking for one. I just wanted to add Romano to the list of people that have gotten tickets that I haven't gotten tickets, which is fine. Joe Romano deserves.
No, he got them through his uncle.
But he got them through his uncle.
By the way, you missed your calling, Mark Carvin.
Ticket guy?
You know, this whole business is about finding niches, you know, that don't get enough attention. You could have, like, why isn't there a ticket guy? Like, you could have started your own blog, podcast, done some ticket deals, involved in the business, and you could have been the Chicago ticket guy that goes on all the radio stations. You have your own business.
How familiar are you with Gold Coast tickets?
Well, obviously I know who they are.
Okay. Just since you're mentioning this, Monday, ever been to O'Donovan's on Irving Park by Damon? Monday night's
yes.
$2 burger night. Nice solid burger. Got to get a beverage with it, though. So, anyway, I'm sitting at the bar, solo, 5:30, got tennis at 8. This is the pregame meal. Guy next to me is like, you look like you're very important because I was wearing a sport coat. I'm like, I'm not important. You're it. And so he starts, I'm like, what do you do? I'm a ticket guy. We went. Hour and a half.
Man.
I mean, I went deep.
Yeah,
I asked him everything I wanted to know. And that game, the ticket game, like Gold Coast, it's just not the same. Those guys have to reinvent themselves.
Yeah, no, you're right.
So,
but you can do it. I'm saying, though, you could have just been the media correspondent. You could have been the guy that goes on the shows and says, hey, this game is worth this right now. If you're looking for value, you know, this Bulls game right here, no one's really worried about the Bulls playing the Mavericks
right
on Friday night. So if you're looking to get in cheap and get the family in for a good game, this is the one you want to go to. That's what you could do.
I love the vision that you just created right there, and I'm just going to jump in right now because, you know, you do have you got Blackhawks hockey tonight at the United Center, Hoag, as you well know. The Kings are in town. The Carm pick for a ticket. Can I do this on the fly here?
Yeah. This is the job I'm trying to get you to do, so let's try it.
I'm going club level. Row 7, section 232, which is, you're just shy of the corner. Great seat. You're still probably
pretty good seat.
Yeah. $55.
Ooh.
Goodbye. I also appreciate a standing room only tonight for $12.50 in the building. Open seats all over the place if you want to go that route. $12.50 for standing.
This is one, Joe.
Yeah, he'd be perfect. And also, he could dog people seeing where they got their tickets from and encourage them to do it a different way next time.
You'd be like, good deal, bad deal. Oh, you paid way too much.
If you're going,
make them feel bad about it.
Yeah, if you're going upper level tonight too, I like a 333 right on the ice, $35. A little high up of row 15, but not bad. I like that seat too.
Man.
I like what you just did, Hoag.
Just looking out for you.
Visions.
Visions. All right. So I heard the. I haven't heard this, but I heard the national anthem, the All-Star game.
Mm-hmm.
What's the word, Joe?
Oh, man, I'd say just didn't fit.
Didn't fit?
Just didn't fit.
We got the whole thing?
Sure do.
All right, let's get a little patriotic here on Sports Central.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so bright? Last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars.
This is Fergie, by the way.
Through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming.
I mean, I liked it. I was all in. Give that extra flavor.
By the way, way to give Stephanie Menendez her coffee an hour after you were supposed to.
Well, I texted her and said it was in here. She was out to lunch doing important things. That's the way it went. Can't fault the effort there.
Good job, Fergie.
I liked watching the players during it. They were all looking at her like,
is this really happening?
Kind of smiling like, okay.
You said it the right way, Joe. It wasn't bad. It was just different. Listen, it didn't fit.
Yeah, it didn't fit. You know, a lot of people try to make it their own. You know, Whitney Houston, that Super Bowl back in the 90s, I'm not sure which year, I still get goosebumps. I think Pink did a phenomenal job. I love hearing Cornelison do it. You know, you can make it your own and still, you know.
Yeah. Pink did a really good job.
Yeah, I thought.
And she was playing hurt, too.
I mean, I like when people put their little extra touch on it, but
it didn't seem like she stayed in the lane, though.
Yeah, she was. Well, there was a lot of lanes there.
There were a lot of different lanes.
There was some coverage going on, dude.
Speaking of lanes, no idea who won Daytona yesterday.
Great race. Loved it.
There's the buried headline.
Huge race. Yeah, I didn't watch it. Never watched it. Never will watch it.
Watch plenty of curling. Hey,
there's a great story in curling. The Russian mixed team that's doping and got caught.
Yes!
Right?
How do you cheat in curling?
Because you do.
I already have a curling injury.
That was just so aggressive.
I curled last night, went down to sweep. My left, what do you call this? Is this my lat?
Are you serious?
Yeah, this is.
You went to curl last night?
I got a game tonight.
No, you don't.
I swear to God, do you want to come?
Is he serious? Has he been talking about this on the show?
Yeah, this is real.
Thanks for listening.
You do curling?
Yeah.
Apologize for not listening more often. I'm working. Maybe I...
You are working at this time.
Yes, but
that's why we put it as a podcast on iTunes and Google Play.
Very, very, very good point.
Search WGN Sports Central.
Where do you curl?
The Chicago Curling Club in Northbrook.
With who?
a lot of people that belong to the Chicago Curling Club in Northbrook.
Are you on a team?
Tonight I am.
Anybody I know?
I play on Monday nights, and then I subbed last night on a Sunday. Nobody you know.
How did you
Nobody I know.
How did you meet these people? How did you, where did the desire come from?
We went out there in December as a radio station.
And you were like, this is cool, I want to do this?
I liked it. I brought Krista. We did a lesson, and then I joined.
Okay, I listened. I shouldn't...
And it's a lot of fun.
That's great. That's great. I take everything back. I said, if you enjoy it, it's well worth it. You're going to have to do that less now that you're the White Sox post-game host. You're going to have to...
Well, the ice melts, too, by, like, April. Okay. So the timing works out pretty good.
Okay. There's no... I didn't know it was an outdoor venue. I'm sure there's indoor
No, it's
ones.
Indoor. But you still got to keep the ice house... It's not like the technology of an ice.
Okay.
First of all, it's a winter sport.
Okay.
And these people golf in the summer.
I'm all still right. learning.
We don't have to get
out. I apologize.
By the way, the U.S. beat Canada.
Huge.
It's like that's the first time it's ever happened in the Olympics.
In curling, they beat them?
In curling. The U.S. men beat Canada while you were sleeping last night.
Things I won't be watching. Curling at the Olympics.
What about me curling? What if I was in the Olympics?
I'd watch a 30-second Instagram video of you curling. I'd go full.
What if I was in the Olympics?
I'd commit to an eight minute. You need to get an exact time when you're on. Sure.
If I get into Beijing in 2022, will you come? Yeah,
absolutely.
Free trip to China.
I
probably won't be free.
I'll pay my own way. Don't worry about the money. I'm there.
All right.
Congratulations.
On what?
Well, you're expanding your whole game. That's a big thing to take on. You're going brand new sport. That's a win. Good job.
All right. Well, congrats to you. Brand new team. Post game, White Sox. Can't wait. First game Friday. We won't have a pre and post, but Friday, well, we'll kind of have a pregame show on here, Sports Central. We're leading into the game Friday. You're welcome.
I will
to
burn every Cub thing I have if we get the White Sox.
Oh, interesting.
Whoa.
Yeah, we got to lose that tape, but okay.
No, it's permanently in the WGN archives. The first game is Friday, this coming Friday, Sox Dodgers, Camelback Ranch.
Huge.
2 o'clock on WGN Radio. We'll be on Sports Central 1 to 2 right here on WGNRadio.com, the WGN Radio app. So plenty of coverage. Leading into the game, the first spring training game of the year already. It seems crazy.
It's beautiful out today, man. I want to go throw the ball right now. Let's have a catch.
I was playing catch with James in the house yesterday. I don't think I'm supposed to be doing that, but I did.
The picture on Instagram of you two laying in bed, both with the arms up, strong.
Thank you. That was not a pose, by the way. We were really sleepy.
Oh, no, I looked at it very closely. I'm like, this dude's definitely asleep.
Yeah.
And James was asleep, too.
Kind of creepy, people taking pictures of you sleeping, though.
Yeah, and putting it on social media. I'm like, you sure you're good with this? But I liked it.
Yeah, it was fun.
It was cool to see.
I'm expanding my Instagram horizons.
You're a great dad. And
thank you.
And great on Instagram, too.
Kind of. I don't really know what I'm doing yet. At Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E. The Carm is... Are you the same?
The Carm 23.
The Carm 23. All right, Joe Romano's our producer. Great job, buddy. We'll get out of here. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Jared Payton joins me on Sports Central tomorrow.
Sweet.
Talk to you tomorrow.